Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, today we're cutting through the complexity of the Australian property market. We're talking Q3 2025.
Right.
And it's a fascinating time, really. We're seeing this shift, away from that aggressive RBA tightening towards, well, a more cautious easing cycle.
Exactly. And that's the key point.
But here's the thing. It's not one single market, is it? It feels very multi-speed. Different states, different buyer types, unique risks, unique opportunities.
Absolutely.
So our mission today is really to give you the essential nuggets, the insights to grasp what's actually going on beneath the surface.
Yeah, look, the Reserve Bank has made that pivotal shift. They've officially started easing.
That third cut this year just happened in August.
That's right, another 25 basis points off the cash rate. And crucially, the major banks, they're all passing those cuts on.
Which matters. And the why behind it is pretty significant too, right? Inflation?
Inflation is the key driver. It has successfully moderated. Headline CPI, underlying inflation, both metrics, came in within that RBA target band for the June quarter.
Back in the 2-3% zone.
Correct. And that provides just a huge psychological boost, for consumers. The whole conversation shifts. It's less about rising rates, more about potential relief.
Okay, but let's manage expectations here. This isn't like a rerun of the 2020-21 stimulus boom, is it?
Oh, definitely not. No. While values are increasing, the pace is different. Monthly national home value growth, it's averaging around, say, plus 0.6%.
Compared to what, plus 1.5% back then?
Exactly. It clearly signals a much more affordability constrained market this time around.
Got it. So values are rising consistently, though.
Yes. Nationally, dwelling values rose again in July. That makes six consecutive months of growth. And this sustained upward pressure, it fundamentally comes down to one core issue, a structural housing shortage.
Okay, and this is where the data gets really interesting, I think. National property listings. They're tracking something like what, 19-20% below the 5-year
That's
average.
right, significantly below.
But at the same time, annual sales volumes are actually tracking slightly above the 5-year average, about 1.9% above.
And that tension, that mismatch between low supply and, well, pretty robust demand, that's the primary force keeping prices firm.
You see in the auction clearance rates too,
Yeah.
still holding strong, consistently above 70%.
Absolutely. And another fascinating layer here is the widening gap, or chasm, really, between houses and units.
Huge difference, isn't it?
It really is. Since the pandemic started, capital city house values have climbed almost three times as much as unit values.
Wow. Three times.
Yeah. And it's pushed that national median price difference between houses and units to a record high. We're talking around $223,000 now.
So that record gap, that's a critical insight for you listening. It basically means units are emerging as maybe the smart play for affordability.
I think that's fair to say,
Yeah.
especially, for first-home buyers.
And we're even seeing signs of an inflection point, like Melbourne in the June quarter. Unit prices actually grew stronger than houses.
That's right. Plus 2.7% for units versus plus 2.3% for houses in Melbourne that quarter. It does suggest they might be poised for some real catch-up growth.
Okay, so connecting this back, this multi-speed market idea, how's it actually playing out across the states?
Well, let's break it down.
Perth seems to be the standout, still.
Perth is hands down the nation's growth leader right now. House values there surged over 9.5% in the year to June alone.
And what's driving that? Still supply.
It's fueled by an extreme supply shortage. Listings are nearly 35% below the decade average there. Plus, they have the highest annual population growth in the country, running at 2.8%.
But here's the powerful insight, I think. Despite that crazy growth, Perth's median house price is still significantly lower than Sydney or Melbourne.
Yeah, still under a million, around $954,000. It shows there's still, relative affordability even within that high growth environment.
Okay, what about Brisbane? It had that incredible boom, crossed the $1 million median mark.
It did an amazing run, but Brisbane looks set to moderate now. The key takeaway there is that it's just, well, it's no longer that clearly affordable alternative to Sydney or Melbourne.
Its median house price is basically the same as Melbourne's now.
Virtually identical, yes. Around $1.06 million for both, which strongly suggests that the big affordability migration wave that benefited Brisbane, that's likely receding.
Right. Which brings us to Melbourne. the rebound story.
Melbourne is the key rebound story for 2025, definitely. After really underperforming for a while, house prices jumped plus 2.3%. And as we said, units plus 2.7% just in the June quarter.
So ignore those lagging reports about annual profit declines.
Well, understand them. A Domain report noted a decline in annual resale profits. True, but that reflects properties bought near the 2021 peak being sold. The strong quarterly growth now. That's the forward-looking indicator. It signals recovery.
Okay, so shifting gears slightly. For you listening, maybe thinking about borrowing, what's the story with interest rates and lending criteria?
Yeah, important question. Variable rates are competitive, hovering around 5.54% on average. But interestingly, the average three-year fixed rate is currently lower, about 5.42%, than the one-year fixed rate of 5.62%.
Huh. So lenders expect more cuts.
That's what it indicates, yes. Lenders seem to be pricing in further RBA cash rate cuts over the medium term.
But, and this is big, lending standards are still strict, right? APRA's buffer.
Absolutely. Crucial point. APRA, the regulator, confirmed it's keeping that mortgage serviceability buffer. That 3 percentage point buffer above the loan's actual interest rate stays.
So no free-for-all just because rates are dipping slightly.
Exactly. It's a vital prudential handbrake. It ensures the market doesn't overheat, even with falling rates, and banks continue to lend responsibly.
It reinforces that it's your serviceability, your ability to repay not just your deposit, that remains the main hurdle for getting a loan approved.
Correct.
Okay, let's pull this all together. What does this complex picture mean for you, the listener?
Right, the takeaways. Interest rates are falling, yes, but don't expect a crazy 2021-style boom. It really is that multi-speed market.
Perth and Adelaide's still strong.
Robust, yeah. But Sydney and Melbourne are definitely gathering momentum now.
And that persistent supply shortage, it's keeping a floor under prices. And units, with that record price gap compared to houses, they look like a strategic, more affordable entry point.
Definitely. With strong potential for that catch-up growth we mentioned.
So, opportunity.
For first-home buyers, look hard at government support. Like Queensland doubling its grant to $30,000 for new builds, leverage, things like that.
And for investors.
You could consider high-yield markets, maybe certain areas in Perth, like Cannington, offering around 5.9% gross yield on houses currently. Or focus on capital growth plays, like maybe Melbourne units now.
What about rentvesting? Still viable.
Oh, absolutely. Renting where you want to live, but buying an investment property elsewhere. That strategy is particularly well-suited to this kind of fragmented multi-speed market.
Okay, so we've really tried to unpack these shifting tides in the Aussie property market. The real value for you isn't trying to predict some uniform boom.
No, it's about understanding these specific nuances, these dynamics.
Our goal here is always just to empower you, give you the tailored, data-backed guidance to navigate this complex landscape.
Exactly. Help you make informed decisions.
So maybe leave you with this thought. How might these diverging trends we've talked about, Perth booming but maybe peaking, Brisbane moderating, Melbourne rebounding, how might those specifically influence your personal property goals in the next few months, whether you're looking to buy, sell, or invest?
Yeah, think about where your next opportunity might lie now that you're armed with these insights into what's really driving the market today.